listening to Syracuse University GradCast. My name is Glenn Wright. My guest today is Aaron Waldron, who's the owner and proprietor of the consultancy Data Dozen, which provides data visualization services and training for a wide range of clients, including Syracuse University. As we record this podcast, Aaron will be virtually visiting campus to deliver two workshops on February 16th, 2024, 1 to 4 p.m. She'll present Data Visualization 101, Visualizing Data with Tableau, as she has every year since 2017. And on February 23rd, 2024, she'll present a brand new workshop, or at least it's brand new for us, on how to communicate effectively with data. That will also be 1 to 4 p.m. So if you're listening to this podcast ahead of those dates, you'll want to find them on the SU events calendar and register. Aaron Waldron, welcome to GradCast.
Thanks so much for having me, Glenn.
So maybe you could start off and just give us a little bit about your background and about Data Dozen and what it is and how it works.
Yeah, so I do kind of two things with Data Dozen. I do half of my work is training and professional development, a lot of the stuff we get to do together with Syracuse grad students. And then the other half of my work is consulting. So I get to work on actual projects that different companies are working through with their data. So I focus a lot on data visualization, best practices there for visualizing your data in a way that folks can understand. But I also do quite a bit with data communication and strategy. And what I found is a lot of what we do doesn't necessarily get into the minds and the hands of the people who need it most, the people that are in our audience that we're trying to reach with our research or our analysis. And so that's kind of a big focus of what I do.
Okay, great. And now, how did you get into this line of work? Because as I as I understand it, you were a poetry major, right? You went to Knox College, I believe, if I remember that correctly, in Illinois. Yeah, as a poetry major. So how from that totally as humanistic as you can get kind of area, how did you become like this huge data nerd? How did that work?
Absolutely. I took a hard left turn once I got out of college. So my very first job out of college after studying analog photography and poetry and creative writing, very much stuck to the humanities in college. My very first job as a poetry major was as a receptionist because I didn't know what else to go do. And I got health insurance that way. So that's box number one checked. From there, what ended up happening is I was actually working in an administration similar to yours, working with grad students at a university. Okay. And I was not a great receptionist because I was always trying to leave the office, but I was a little bored. But one of the things that I got to do was go take notes when Tableau came to campus to demo their product. Tableau is a very neat drag and drop data visualization software. And when I saw it demoed, I had this aha light bulb moment, which today as an analyst feels very obvious, but at the time working in the graduate school's office, we're counting students one at a time, we're entering data for students one at a time, we're retrieving that data one student at a time. And I saw Tableau demoed and these visualizations of many data points all at the same time and thought we could look at every single one of our grad students at once. And that to me was just absolutely intoxicating. I was completely hooked. And so luckily I was with a fantastic group of mentors, bosses, an office that was really excited to do more with the data we had to better understand how to support our graduate students and their success. And was lucky enough to be able to be sent to training and then work with some fabulous collaborators to really get my own feet wet in terms of analysis. The background that I had in storytelling, in visual communication, in analog photography, all of that actually meant that I was pretty good at thinking about the end game. Who are the people we're trying to reach? How do we communicate with them? And then working backwards from my sketches, had to figure out the tech. So on the tech side, a lot of Googling and a lot of great mentors, but understanding fundamentally what the questions we were asking and different ways that we could communicate the answer, those were the two pieces. So worked at the university for several years, ended up in the provost's office working in institutional research, and then eventually was like, can I go out and do this on my own? And that's how Data Dozen started about 7 years ago.
Yeah. Now, so That takes a lot of guts to do that. And I know that there's a lot of grad students out there who have maybe not the same skill set, but kind of similarly, like the skill sets that they feel they might be able to somehow kind of like operationalize and turn into a job for themselves. So what's your advice? Like, I can see a lot of people thinking I'm good at this. I think I would enjoy working in this area, but I don't know how to go about creating my own business around it, or I'm just scared of that. Like, what's your advice for people who might be toying with that idea, moving in that more entrepreneurial direction?
Absolutely. It does take guts, and I always think that I was just a little too dumb to know how hard it would be. So I didn't think of myself as particularly brave at the moment. I was mostly excited to be location independent. And so it was a move very much based on where I was in life at the time. I was
I see.
getting married. We were leaving St. Louis, where we had lived. We were going to be on, have the opportunity to travel full time. And I thought, oh, well, this is great. I have this skill set. I'll just do this for myself. So what I would recommend is a little bit of build a net before you jump, which is something that
Okay.
I did not do, which just meant there was a lag between going out on my own and saying, this is it, I'm starting a business, and actual revenue coming in.
Yeah.
If you are thinking of starting a business, there are two elements. There's the technician piece of it, which you're likely very good at as a graduate student. You are incredibly skilled, incredibly talented. And also, if you've been in a PhD or a master's program, you have a lot of reps doing the actual work. What you may lack, which is what I lacked, was any sort of business skills. And
Yeah.
so, if you happen to be in that book or in that world, books, podcasts, business resources, start building your how to run a business mindset and skill set along with the work. What I would often recommend is start building that portfolio and start reaching out to who are your dream clients. I work a lot with graduate students because I came from working with graduate students and I loved working with graduate students and I wanted to continue working with graduate students. So as soon as I started my business, the first thing I did was start reaching out to universities with grad programs who had professional development trainings and seeing if there was an opportunity to present. Those start by doing it for free. Get people on your resume, get projects on your resume, get things going that you can actually point to, make references, and then start charging. And you'll have the ability to have really good references in your court who know the quality of the work you can deliver. So it's kind of a twofold thing. It's figuring out that business piece that may or may not be lacking, and then building up that resume. And if you can get a few paying clients under your belt and a handful more of maybe, free work you've done with great references, then you can start building out those testimonials. You start having your systems in place. You've got the net that now when you jump will catch you as opposed to free falling for a
Yeah.
little bit, which there's nothing wrong with if you've got the money and the insurance to do it, but most people aren't in that boat. So a little bit of net building, and that can be done while you're still in grad school. Those things can be done on the side, leveraging projects you've already done to build out that portfolio, leveraging the relationships you already have. The very first workshop that I ever delivered as Data Dozen was actually for a different unit at the university I was leaving. So the first thing I did was start building on the relationships I already had and working from there.
Yep. Yeah. Now I remember, or actually I don't remember, but I went back and I checked the ancient email history when you first reached out. And it's exactly what you were just describing there. You kind of popped in out of the blue, somebody over, I think, in career services got your email. And then at some point, Dan Olsenbang, who's now, of course, my colleague here at the graduate school and more often than not the host of this podcast, wrote back to you saying, "Oh, but thanks, Aaron, but basically just like, yeah, we don't have the budget for this. We're not really looking for this right now." And then you rejected his rejection by saying, "Well, tell you what, how about if I do it for free?" At which point, really, she's serious about this. Like, well, we're not going to say no to that. So we had you come in, do the version of the data visualization 101 that you were running at the time, and it was great, and people loved it. And I remember at the time thinking, like, well, we gotta have her back next year, thinking like, well, I hope she's still around. I hope she's still doing this next year, because you were obviously just getting off the ground with this whole enterprise. And here it is, what, 7 years later, I guess, and it's going seemingly better than ever. Now, you mentioned in an email exchange recently that whereas in the past, like Tableau has been your jam the whole time, like that's your thing. But you mentioned that you're moving more in the direction of these platform agnostic, as you call them, workshops, where it doesn't presuppose that somebody's going to be building something with Tableau. It's just more general kind of transferable data visualization kind of stuff. Could you talk about a little bit about that transition and kind of how apparently that's been informed by your experience of the marketplace for this kind of work? So what do you see happening out there that's driving that change?
Absolutely. There was a very fascinating survey of the industry annual report that just came out from the Data Visualization Society. So, being a big nerd, I'm data about data usage from a data visualization society. This is my jam. So, I'm downloading that PDF and taking a look. One of the things that I've seen, sort of in my own anecdotal movement through the world, is that both businesses and students and people that are hiring, folks that are entering the workforce, there's a variety of tools being used. And it, as someone who I got my start working with Tableau is a great drag and drop software that doesn't presuppose that you can code, essentially. So there's some logic in building calculations, but no different than the logic of building calculations in Excel when you make a new column and you copy the same calculation down the whole thing and you're making a new variable. The exact same thing is happening in Tableau. But unlike potentially coding in D3 or R to create your visualizations, something like Tableau or Power BI or Google's Looker Studio, those tools are going to look at your data set and let you build visualizations by dragging and dropping the variables into the proper places. So I got my start in Tableau. It is by far, according to the data, the most enjoyable tool to use. It's got about a twofold position over other tools in being very easy to use and enjoyable. However, it is also very expensive. And it was also recently bought in the last couple of years by Salesforce. So there's a role that it is playing now in that realm and that suite. What you'll see on the other side is tools like Power BI are often included for many, many organizations that are already Microsoft houses. So they have Teams, they have Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and they have then Power BI built in as their analytics studio. If you want to visualize data, you can use Power BI. There are a whole bunch of different tools that folks use to visualize data. It might surprise folks to learn that Excel, followed by PowerPoint, are the top tools in the industry because people have them and their data is already in Excel. And what do? They open a new sheet and they build their visualization right there, referencing the data they've already got. There are all sorts of workflow problems with that, potentially, but at the same time, it's also tools that people have at the ready. And I have seen beautiful dashboards built in PowerPoint, Excel, Power BI, Tableau, Google Data Looker Studio, all of it. People are building things in Canva and, Illustrator and the Adobe suites if they're more on the, art side of things and design side of things. And then if they're more on the coding side of things, they're working in Python and R and, SPSS and things like that. So that spread, there isn't, I would say Power BI is the closest thing to moving towards making pretty quick leaps towards a monopoly in the drag and drop interactive space. It is still behind Tableau, but Tableau is also falling quickly. But the truth is, most people are building in whatever they have. Whatever is free for them, that's what they're using. And so what I found is that so many of the folks that I'm working with, both in organizations and corporations, but also with students, the fundamental best practices around how to visualize data well and how to communicate with data well are the same, regardless of what tool you're using. And so my advice for graduate students, especially if you're listening to this and you're thinking, what skills do I need to have on the resume in order to get a job where I'm analyzing data for a corporation or organization? One, figure out which might be used most in your industry. There are definitely industries that use one over the other quite a bit. But the second thing that I'd recommend is take the same data set, you know the answer of what you're trying to visualize, and learn how to build the same dashboard or the same visualizations in several tools. Do it in Tableau's free version, do it in Power BI's version, do it in Google, Looker Studio, and just try out multiple things. And what you'll learn is they're not that different. Everyone's got their preferences, everyone's got their favorite tool, just like anyone, woodworker who's like, this is it, this is my chisel, this is my hammer, this is my favorite one. And that, for me, will probably be Tableau for the foreseeable future. I work with a lot of clients that use it, and it's a very robust tool. But at the end of the day, you do not need to have an enormous amount of experience in any one tool. You need to be an effective visualizer and communicator of data. And you can do that with any tool, whatever you've got. So that would be my advice sort of going into it, if you're trying to build up a skill set that potential employers might be interested in.
Well, that's comforting, because to me, it's just the daunting thing would just be the learning curve. Like, I would imagine, because I've got this idea in my head about what I want the visualization to be, but in order to actually execute that, I'm going to have to learn just a ton of stuff. At least that's my fear. So, like, it's comforting to hear that you can just actually kind of jump in there and start dabbling with the free versions and just kind of figuring out. And I imagine a lot of these have kind of like tutorials or other kinds
Absolutely.
of tools that help you with that learning process. Now, so a question would be, what about AI? Like, because we can't have any kind of conversation these days without invoking this, reality game-changing concept out there. So how, and I would imagine data visualization must be like ground zero for a lot of what's happening in the artificial intelligence domain. Like, where do you see things headed with that?
Yeah, I'll point back to that same report that I just read about sort of the state of the data visualization industry. So right now, AI is impacting the most foundational level of data visualization, which is data cleaning and data structuring, and getting the stuff that is so repetitive. And anyone who's worked with a data set before, and you're trying to clean up, and people have spelled Syracuse University 8 different ways and St. Louis 8 different ways. And you're trying to standardize so that you can effectively aggregate and come to conclusions. That kind of cleaning and structuring, AI is running towards, which is fantastic. It's taking care of things that we don't want to spend our time doing. But AI, I remember several years ago seeing the beginning of Tableau's Ask Data module coming out, and kind of thinking at the time, like, it looks a little gimmicky. It looks a little cheesy, but like I see where you're going. Like, I get it. And at this point, watching ChatGPT be so effective in answering questions, you can see actually where those things are going. So with something like data visualization, what it's going to boil down to, I think, is asking the most pertinent questions. The same as working with any sort of AI right now is, how do you make sure it knows what you know in order to give you the answer that you need? And so what's fascinating to think about is that if you fast forward 10 or 15 years in the future, those sort of Ask Data demos that we've seen in the past couple years that we think, oh yeah, that's cute, but like, we'll see when it actually can solve my problems. They're going to get there, absolutely. And instead of having a time where you're loading a data set into something like Power BI or Tableau and saying, okay, now I'm going to start building my own visualizations to start exploring the data, I think there will be a lot of use of just simply asking the data set directly and saying, okay, I got a data set of, let's say, all the students at Syracuse. Tell me what the attrition rate is. Tell me what the time to degree is. And then you get an answer and you say, make sure you're calculating time to degree by also looking into, leave of absences and whether someone already had a master's degree coming into a PhD program, and thinking through what are the important caveats that you want to make sure are taken into that analysis. But AI can give you both a written and a visual form of that back. And so over time, some of this will be more conversational, I think, with like literally talking to your data set and saying, tell me what you're seeing. And the better we can get at understanding and really defining our questions, the better we will get in terms of the results that we get back. But that's been true forever, right? That fundamentally at the core of like, how do you ask a data set a really good question? That's a skill that grad students have been working on and refining and getting under their belt for a long time. That stuff will still be relevant. So the other element that I always think of, like, which pieces will AI take off our plate? And then which pieces will we still be, you know, really important about and be able to bring to the table ourselves? Or so what do we do with the data? Why does the data matter? Underneath every data set, almost every time, are people. And so trying to understand what are the people that are needing from this data set, wanting to learn from this data set, how can they use the answers that they can get? Who are we analyzing? And having a little bit of willingness to push back against analysis that may be coming from models that are biased in some way or ingrained in some sort of data or trained on some sort of data set that is going to be warped in some capacity. So looking at how you can both humanize the data you're seeing and then remember the humans that are being visualized and analyzed in that data set, and then delivering that analysis back to those people in a way that they can actually use. Those building blocks, I don't think are going anywhere. I'm hoping that AI will just help speed up the pieces that are a little tedious to do. And for honestly, a lot of the work that I've specialized in the past with dashboard creation, visualization creation, some of those best practices are being solidified in a way that those types of outputs, those types of deliverables may be very much generated in going forward, and they might be really good, and that's fantastic. Like, we still have, there are so many dashboards and reports out there that are fantastic that no, never get used. So there's still so much work to do, even if AI has taken over a huge amount of that creation.
That's really interesting. I'm interested in your comments. Specifically, you kind of were touching on the idea of bias in the data or in the way that the data gets represented or in the things that you pull out of the data. And AI seems to be kind of like on both sides of that equation, right? Because on the one hand, you're suggesting, well, if we train it right, it can effectively detect, perhaps it could effectively detect some of those biases, maybe in things that might be kind of transparent to a human being. On the other hand, there's a lot of talk right now about bias in it's being built into AI itself. So you might never detect those things in the first place if your stuff is being generated using AI. But I mean,
Absolutely.
that's just, to me, that seems like a really clear example when you're talking about something like data analysis, data visualization, you know, basically just this larger conversation that's taking place in, well, everywhere. You know, it's the question of our times, right? Like, where is AI headed? And what's the, you know, is there an end game here? Or are we just on some kind of like roller coaster to who knows where? Okay, so we are almost out of time, but I want to give you a chance to give us a little bit of a preview about what we've got coming up in the next few weeks. So on February 16th, as I mentioned, you'll be doing your data visualization 101, which is very Tableau based. So everybody will need to have their laptops and be working on Tableau, and you'll be building dashboards and doing the stuff in real time with you for that 2-hour workshop. That's super popular. We've had people come back and do the same workshop 2 or even 3 times. But we've never done the other workshop, how to communicate effectively with data, which, as I understand it, is one of these platform agnostic workshops that you're offering. So it doesn't matter if you use Tableau or not. Can you give us a little glimpse of what people might expect from that?
Absolutely. So, regardless of what tool you use to communicate with your data, whether you are building things in R or Python or Excel or PowerPoint or Tableau or Power BI, it does not matter. Fundamentally, reaching, getting your data into the hands and the minds of the people who need it. That's why we do all of the work we do with data projects. That's what this workshop is about. So we will touch on best practices for visualizing data for sure, but we'll also build really into more about how do we identify our audience that we are trying to get to connect with and trying to get our data into their hands. Every project has an audience. If you are 100% of your audience, then you can just focus on you. But the likelihood that you are 100% of your audience is incredibly slim. Usually we are doing our work in order to communicate it and get it into other people's hands. So with that, we will be talking about the five most common mistakes people make when they are trying to communicate with data. And we will break down those five mistakes, why we make them, how we make them, and then also how to correct for them, how to recognize that we've made them, and how to reroute towards better work. And so in that workshop, we will not only talk about the theory around why those mistakes happen and what they look like, and some examples of good and bad of what comes out of that, but also talk through some exercises that grad students can do. You know, if you've got a project and you're sort of nearing the end where you're out of the lab, you're out of the research phase, and you're trying to actually promote and publish what you've got so that your research has some legs and goes somewhere, we'll be talking about some exercises to basically kick the tires and see how do you know that you're effectively reaching your audience with what you've created. Because the biggest problem we see both in academia, but also in the corporate world, are these enormous data projects people frantically make, and then they end up in the proverbial trash can. They are archived, they are emails that are deleted, they are slide decks that never get seen, they are dissertations that sit on a shelf forever and never get out into the hands of the people that could really use them. And so that's really what we're going to be sort of biting our teeth into during that workshop, is how to make sure all that effort that you've already done as a grad student is capitalized on by actually reaching the people you were hoping the research would reach.
Excellent. Great. I'm really looking forward to that one. So that'll be February 23rd, 1 to 4 p.m. And then the Data Visualization 101 with Tableau will be February 16th, same time frame. And again, if you can, you can just go to the Syracuse University events calendar, find those events, register. We'll be obviously publicizing these through other channels as well. Aaron, I'm really looking forward to seeing you in the upcoming weeks again. It's great to have a chance to kind of just sit down for a while and have a conversation too. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. This has been GradCast from Syracuse University.